special ayah number na ayah number? Anyone? يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حين وقولوا انظرنا واسمعوا كافرين عذاب أليم ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين آية نمبر حبيبي ها somebody 104 exactly are you sure 104 يلا 104 يا أيها الذين آمنوا they used to come the اليهود they used to come at the time of the prophet and they used to say يا محمد راعنا يا محمد راعنا and راعنا is an insult in for them in the Jewish language at the time was an insult so he used to say we used to insult Muhammad secretly now we insult him openly so Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this ayah يا أيها الذين آمنوا بسم الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقولوا راعنا وقولوا انظرنا واسمعوا وللكافرين عذاب الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين أن ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم والله يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير ألم تعلم أن الله له ملك السماوات والأرض وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل ومن يتبدل الكفر بالإيمان فقد ضل سواء السبيل ود كثير من أهل الكتاب لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا حسدا
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله مرحبا بكم مرة أخرى في هذه المجالس أو هذا المجلس الذي يذكر فيه اسم الله I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, into this gathering. The gathering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises in this hadith when the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam yaqul, ma min qawmin, you know, when people they stick together in a gathering, fi baytin min buyutillah, yadrasuna kitab Allah aw yatadarasuna, yatuna kitab Allah aw yatadarasunahu. This is exactly what we're doing. They sit in a gathering whereby they're learning from, they're reciting the Quran, or they are learning the Quran. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. Reciting the Quran and learning the Quran. Illa wa ghashatum al-rahma wa nazat alayhim al-sakina wa haffatum al-malaika wa dhakarahum Allah fi man indah. This is exactly this gathering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Prophet says that the rahma will overwhelm them. Rahma will overwhelm them. And then sakina, tranquility, will descend upon them. And the angels will surround them with their wings. The angels are here, no doubt, because this is what the Prophet ﷺ says. Hadith is sahih. حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. If we were to see the unseen right now, لَوْ نَرَى الْغَيْبِ لَأُغْمِي عَلَيْنَا. For sure. If you were to see the unseen, we will faint. Why? Because the angels are there from light. They're from light, so we won't be able to bear the fact that there's so much light, subhanAllah, in this masjid. لَأُغْمِي عَلَيْنَا. So the angels are surrounding us, and Allah is mentioning us by name to His angels, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are four things that we get off of these gatherings. And there's one more, which is at the end of the gathering. You know, at the end, يَقُولُ مُنَادٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ قَدْ بُدِلَ سَيَّأَتُكُمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. So you tell me if this is not worth it, really, staying here or listening to this talk. Because at the end, an angel will make that announcement, stand up and leave. All your sins have been forgiven. And your bad deeds have been converted into good deeds. بُدِّلَتْ سَيِّئَاتُكُمْ حَسَنَاتُ. Your bad deeds have been converted to good deeds. This is the majlis. And here what we're studying, Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Barakah. Surah Al-Barakah, the surah that burns the jinn, that burns the shayateen, the surah that is filled with blessings and barakah, all terms and all kinds of blessings, subhanAllah, Surah Al-Baqarah. And we spoke last week about al-shayateen, you know, and the claim that the Yahud were saying, you know, that they claimed that Sulaiman, you know, was not a prophet. Sulaiman, they cursed Sulaiman. They accused him of teaching people sihr. So we talked about that, and we talked about, you know, the evolving dark magic. And also the impact and the types of black magic and how one can protect themselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when He says, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They cannot harm these people who practices this dark magic. They cannot harm anything other than, or anyone other than, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. If that something is going to happen to you, it was decreed to happen to you regardless. If something was not meant to happen to you, it shall never happen to you. As the Prophet Muhammad, when he told, you know, in this hadith, if the entire, you know, world from ins and jinn and shayateen and whatnot, they come together to benefit you, and Allah does not want to benefit you, won't be benefited. And if they come together, the whole world, the entire world, they come to harm you, and Allah does not want to harm you, you shall not be harmed. So at the end, what's going to happen is, it's only that which Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed to happen to you. Put your trust in Allah. This is what we call tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, all you who believe. So brothers and sisters, if you're listening, and I hope you are. Ya ayyuhal, and those who are online with us. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, when there is a call, all you who believe. Ibn Mas'ud used to say, whenever you hear this announcement here, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, it's a call from Allah, calling whom? Calling the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, ari'a sam'ak, give it your ear and your heart, because there is a message coming here, and the message will be of two forms: either do or abstain from doing. When you hear Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, it's either an order to be followed, or something to abstain from, something prohibited to abstain from. So when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, the message is not to the Sahaba no more. The Sahaba are no more. You know, the Sahaba are gone. So now the message is for you and I. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, la taqulu ra'ina wa qulu unzurna wasma'u wa lil kafirina adhabun alim. Ya, all you who believe, la taqulu ra'ina. Don't say ra'ina. So this ayah was revealed at the time when the Jews, they used to come and they used to tell the Prophet Muhammad, Ya Muhammad ra'ina, Ya Muhammad ra'ina. You know, and this was actually an insult for them. You see, when the Quran was being revealed, right? So the Quran is being revealed, and there are people, you know, the Sahaba who are writing the Quran. Listen. So they're writing the Quran. So as they are writing the Quran, sometimes the Prophet Muhammad is, you know, talking, you know, like fast, and then the one who's writing, he may need the Prophet to shway shway. Tola tola. Shway shway. Ra'ina ra'ina. You know, ra'i means, you know, yeah, you know, easy. Don't, you know. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, oh, you who believe, don't say ra'ina. قُلُ انظُرْنَا. Why ra'ina? Because ra'ina is a term used to be said by the Jews at the time that used to mean something bad. It's a curse. So don't be like them. Just like the Prophet Muhammad sitting with Aisha radiallahu anha, and some people from the Jews, they came and they sent salam. But they did not say salam. They said, assalamu alaikum. They said, assalamu alaikum. The Prophet heard them. And Aisha, she heard them. So Aisha, she replied, wa alaikum assalam wal la'na wa ghadab Allah. Wa alaikum assalam wal la'na wal ghadab. The Prophet told Aisha, ya Aisha, did you hear what I said? I said, wa alaikum. I said, wa alaikum. I didn't have to curse. And I said, wa alaikum. What is the sam? It's not wassalam. Wassalam. Sam means death upon you. Assam versus assalam. Assalam means peace. But these people, when they passed by Rasulullah, they said, assalamu alaikum. The Prophet says, wa alaikum. One sister called me on the phone, on the live on TV one time. On TV, like an Islam channel in the UK. So she said, hi, Sheikh. I said, wa alaikum, hi. Wa alaikum, hi. Wa alaikum, hi. So how do they say, assalamu alaikum? Although, you know, she did not mean bad. She says, hi. I said, hi. You know, but it's better to say, assalamu alaikum. So these people, they said, assalamu alaik. So the Prophet understood. And Aisha, she understood too. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Wa alaikum assalam wa la'na wa ghadab Allah. May Allah alaykum assalam and the la'na and the curse and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aw ma sami'ti ma qult ya Aisha? Qult wa alaykum. So what does that mean here? It means these people, they have certain things that we have to be careful when they say. Particularly ra'ina. At the time, they had this term which meant an insult. Ya Muslimin, when you're writing the Quran from the last one, there may be something like it's, you cannot, you know, it's too fast for you. Tell Rasulullah, انظرنا يا رسول الله, انظر, انظرنا, انظرنا. شوي شوي. انظر, يعني, انظر, or انتظر, means wait, I'm still writing, انتظر. Don't say راعينا. Okay, here's a beautiful question. That was at the time. Arabs who are here, those of you who are Arabs. Is it okay to say ra'ina today? I'm a businessman, but asal. This brother is from Yemen, he sells asal. He doesn't, but I'm just saying. So I said, yeah, he wants to sell the asal for $500 for shway shway, just a kilo. 1 kilo, $500. I say, ya Habibi, ra'ina. Ra'ina. In Arab we say this, ra'i, ra'ini, yani take care of me, don't charge me too much, ra'ini. Today is okay to say it. But at the time it meant something bad to Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ, Allah told them, don't say ra'ina, but قُلْ انظُرْنَا وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ. Oh, ho, 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 what's going on here? وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ. Ya Rabbi, ra'ina, انظُرْنَا, and then you say, وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Yes, why? Those الَّذِينَ لَا يَمْتَتِلُونَ كلام الله لهم عذاب أليم. وللكافرين عذاب أليم. Right after that, Allah says, and for the non-believers, they shall have a very severe chastisement. What does that mean? Yes, those who do not follow the commands of Allah, they will have عذاب أليم. If the Prophet says, or if Allah says, don't say this, and you keep saying it, you have عذاب أليم. If Allah says, don't do this, and you keep on doing it, you may have عذاب أليم. Do you understand? It's not just there at that time. It's also applicable today. Don't say it. Don't do it. وللكافرين عذاب أليم. Somebody says, السلام عليكم. What should you say?
وعليكم السلام.
وإذا حييتم بتحية. فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. The very least is to say وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ. This is the very least when somebody says السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. But the best is to وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Because Allah says in the Quran, when you are greeted with tahiyya, فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. Greet with a better greeting. Somebody says السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You say وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Not وَعَلَيْكُمْ. When somebody says السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, don't say وَعَلَيْكُمْ. Some people today, some Arabs in some culture, they say salam, Morocco, salam, salam. What's wrong with salamu alaykum? Because now you've been watched. Those who say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, oh, hadu extremists. Salam is cool. Salam is high. Salam is nice. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, hada multazim. هذا مسلم ملتزم. Be careful. So in the bus, sometimes, you know, back home, they watch. When they say salamu alaikum, they want to see what your reply would be, and based on your reply, they will label you. They will label you. Multazim, Muslim, Sunni, not Sunni, cool Muslim, non-cool, just based on your salam. When you say wa alaikum or wa salamakum, say hi. Wada is all right. Don't be afraid of him. He's all right. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. سجلوا. هذا محارب هذا. هذا maybe I don't know. طالباني. Be careful. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. So this is just on the way. So the معنى here is, the meaning here, be careful of these people and their terms and what they use. Sometimes they use tricky words, so be careful, you know, in the words. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Al-kufr here, there are two types of kufr. Kufr, you know, al-kafirin عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Al-kafirin here, because there are two types of kufr. There is kufr, which is the major kufr, وَالْعِيَدُ بِاللَّهِ, the one that takes you out of the fold of Islam. And there is the minor kufr. The minor kufr, like the Prophet when he says, لَا تَرْجْعُوا بَعْدِ كُفَّارًا يَدْرِبُوا بَعْضُكُمْ أَعْنَاقَ بَعْضٍ. Oh, ya sahaba, don't come back to me, kuffar. You're killing one another. Like the kuffar. That does not mean that you are kafir. But don't be like those kafir, killing one another, hitting one another, striking the head of one another. You know? So this, you know, here when Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, you know, talking about this type of kufr. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَوَدُّ. Oh, be careful here with me, لو سمحتم, please. ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين أن ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم. We live with them. We live with them. We live here. So we have to understand a few things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the disbelievers from the people of the book and the polytheists would not want you to receive any blessing from your Lord. But Allah selects whoever He wills for His mercy. طيب ما يود بالعربي comes from wood which comes from the name of Allah الودود, the most affectionate. ما يود بالعربي بيقول sometimes والله ودت لو جيت عندك ودت لو أنني أحضنك ودت from wood. I would love to come and visit you. I would love to come and hug you. ودت from wood. Here Allah says ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين. They would not want the disbelievers. They would not want what? ما يود الذين كفروا. الذين كفروا here means the disbelievers. I'm not gonna explicitly mention them. When I say disbeliever, disbelievers. You understand? They will not be pleased with you and I until you become kafir. This is what the ayah says. Okay, who says that's what Allah says in the Quran? ما يود الذين كفروا من الكتاب والمشركين أن ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم. They would not want you to have any خير. They would not want you to be successful. You may say all. We will talk about the next ayah that says not all, but eventually, you know, these people, they would not want you to be خير, to have any خير. They would not. Why? Because they have حسد. What kind of hasad? Envy. Envy from what? They initially wanted this religion to be theirs. They initially wanted this prophet to be theirs. But the prophet came from the Arabs. Now they don't want you to have no khair, the hasad. They don't want you to be successful. They don't want you to be not only just successful, they don't want you, they don't want to see you be amongst the mashallah, the fortunate ones and those who are leaders and whatnot. لا يود الذين كفروا. They don't want to see any khair. They want you to be always, you know, from those who fail. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. They're angry. زعلانين يعني. لأن الرسالة ما أنزلت عليهم بس ما أنزلت على رسولهم أو كانوا يتمنون أن الرسول يأتي من عندهم ولكن جاء الرسول الرسول العربي القرشي من ولد عدنان. They were waiting for this prophet to come from their progeny, yet this prophet came from, you know, the progeny of Ismail عليه السلام. So they took it to their hearts. ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب. والله يختص برحمتي من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. And here Allah subhanahu says, and Allah selects whoever He wills for His mercy. What Allah means here by His mercy? والله يختص برحمتي من يشاء. And Allah selects for His mercy whoever He wills. The mercy here means al-Islam. Allah selects Islam for whoever He wishes subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has selected these people. Just Allah selected al-Haramain. That's where Mecca is. Whether you like it or not, that's where Mecca is. That's what the Haram is. That's what the Kaaba is. And Allah selected Palestine for the Qubba to be there. And Allah selected Medina for the Al-Majid Nabi to be there. Allah selects whatever He wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ فَضُّ اللَّهِ يَتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Even Musa wanted to be part of this Ummah, wasn't it? Remember? Even Musa wanted to be the prophet of this Ummah. And Musa wanted to be the prophet of this Ummah. And Musa wanted to be part of this Ummah. And the Prophet kept, and Allah kept saying, هذه أمة محمد. هذه أمة محمد. This is the Ummah of Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. ذلك فضل الله. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you following me so far? Huh? And then Allah goes to what something that they have done. What they have done? They made changes. I don't like this from the Torah. We're going to change it. We don't like this from the Bible. We're going to change it. So they claim, well, your Muslims also change. Muhammad changes Quran. What? How? Yeah, Muhammad changes the Quran. There's an ayah, and then he doesn't like it, so he changes it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Here comes this concept of نسخ. نسخ أو نسخ نسخ كتابا بالعربي نسخ كتاب. You know, when you have a book and you say I want to make a copy of that book, we say نسخ. انسخ للكتاب, copy of it. نسخ also means to substitute something, to alter something linguistically. نسخ is to alter something or to change something. In this is linguistically. Here it means to abrogate. What is abrogation? Abrogation is when you take an ayah and you change that ayah. And there are three types of nuskh which we're going to talk about. So just to understand. But the question first is why Allah is making nuskh in the Quran? Because these non-believers, they claim that Muhammad changes the Quran. But Allah does not change the Quran. No. Hold on, I made a mistake. They claim that Muhammad changes the Quran. So Allah comes and He says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ. It is Allah who makes these changes, not Muhammad. Number one. مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. Whatever we abrogate an ayah, أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. You know when nunsiha? Nunsiha, when you translate it, means to forget it, or we make them forget it. Whereas إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. This is the best. When you explain the Quran with the Quran. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. النسي in Surah At-Tawbah, nasi comes from nisyan. Nunsiha means to delay it. As the Arabs at the time Quraysh, they used to delay a month versus a month. The Ashur al-Hurum, the sacred month, they used to delay those months. Let's say, what's Shahr al-Haram? There are four. Do you know them? Four sacred months. What are they?
رجب، ذو القعدة، ذو الحجة، المحرم. محرم. These are the three. So in these months, you cannot. There's no war. There is no killing. There's no. So there. So these people, you know, they used to. They used to delay a month versus a month. Oh, this month we're traveling, and if we're traveling for this, you know, in our caravan for trade, and by the time we reach this other, you know, town, it will be safar. And Safar, it's okay to you know, for these bandits to cross, to attack. So we're going to delay Safar, and then we just say, oh no, Dhul Qa'dah, it's still Dhul Hijjah, you know. So they used to play with these months so that they can do their trade peacefully. And it's called an-nasi, is to delay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. If we were to abrogate an ayah, or nunsiha, or we delay it, or we remove it, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مُثْلِهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. We bring a better ayah, or something similar to it. Why? Why? Here comes the beautiful explanation of why. Aisha radiallahu anha says, with regard to khamar, you know what khamar is, right? Khamar means alcohol. Alcohol. Wine, يعني, is something intoxicants. She says, لو نزلت يا أيها الذين آمنوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتركوا الخمر. If it was revealed like this, all you who believe, refrain from khamr, from alcohol, the Muslims wouldn't have left it. They would not have, abstained from it. Why? It came in stages. This is the abrogation. This is the naskh. Because Allah knows that this sahaba, that these people, that these human beings, you know, they are weak. So they need to be prepared somehow. And I will give you, I don't know if the sisters are here, because there's another ayah. There's about six ayah that were abrogated. And Imam al-Suyuti said there were 20 ayah that were abrogated. And there was another narration that says there were over 103 ayah that were abrogated. But amongst the ulama, the scholars, the consensus is six ayah that were abrogated. Right? So here comes this explanation. The khamr came in, or the prohibition of alcohol, because some people now they're playing smart. They say, Sheikh, there is no ayah in the Quran that says khamr is haram. True. True. There's no ayah that in the Quran that says, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ حَرَامُ. الْخَمْر is haram. There's no ayah. But it came in stages. The first stage is when Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about الخمر المنافع and المساوئ, the benefits and the harm. And Allah talks about the benefits, or the harm outweighs the benefits. So first talks about the benefits and the harms of khamr, because the sahaba used to drink so much. They were very heavy drinkers, very heavy drinkers. When the Prophet Muhammad sent the sahaba, you know, to call Islam, like Mu'ad, call them first to La ilaha illallah. After they believe, then tell them about as-salah. Don't mention the other pillars. First talk about salah. If they accept the salah, once they accept the salah, then tell them about az-zakah. If you first and tell them pay zakah, they will have never paid it. They will never pay it because they're not ready. They need to be ready. So preparing them mentally. Not just physically, لا, mentally, spiritually. First tell them about La ilaha illallah. They accept La ilaha illallah, tell them about As-Salah. Before Zakah, As-Salah. Now that they're praying, as they pray, they're empowering themselves. Now you tell them about Zakah. After Zakah, now they're ready to leave food for some time. Tell them about Siyam. Now they left Siyam. They left any food and drinks and abstain from their spouses. Now comes in the most difficult thing. You're going to leave everything, including, you know, your clothes and your, you know, everything. And you're going to leave your homes. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to Mecca. Why? To perform Hajj. You have to tell them one by one. Now they're ready. Innan came in the second ayah, which abrogated the first ayah. The second ayah that says, okay, because they were ready, but they're not ready fully. Because they used to drink. Even Umar ibn Khattab, he used to drink so much until he used to get so drunk. Drunk. So what happened was, they used to drink, but then came in, don't drink when you're praying. Oh, we're going to pray Dhuhr. After Dhuhr comes what? Maghrib. Maghrib. Oh, Asr. Oh, okay. In Asr, is it Asr? Zuhr after Dhuhr comes? Comes Asr. So if I drink, I'm not going to be sober, right? I'm going to be a little bit kida. What do we call sakran? Drunk. So if I drink between Dhuhr and Asr, I may be drunk. You know, so maybe the Quran, I will not recite the Quran properly. I'm not going to drink. I'm going to refrain from drinking until Maghrib. No, but because Dhuhr, Asr, and Maghrib is very short. So you know what? I'll wait until Isha. But between Maghrib and Isha is only an hour. So I'm not going to drink until after Isha. Between Isha and Fajr, it's about 6-7 hours. Yalla. And they used to drink after. Don't come and say, Sheikh, no, I'm just waiting for Isha. Inshallah, I'm going to go home and I'm waiting for Isha, and then you just said it. Yes, but that was at the time, the Sahaba. They would drink, but they would drink after Isha. And they would stop before the Fajr, to get ready for Fajr. So they did that for some time. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the Sahaba already came in the ayah. Ya ayyuhal ladin, innama al-khamru, wal-ansabu, wal-azlamu, والميسر والانصاب والازلام رجس من عمل. This is even worse than saying khamr is haram. Al-khamr and the gambling and worshipping idols. رجس من عمل الشيطان. فاجتنبوه. Leave it. It's from shaitan. Leave it. As you have left gambling. And you have left. Sisters, what's going on? Huh? Aywa. As you have left gambling and you have left worshipping idols, now leave al-khamr. Avoid drinking khamr. You know, abstain from drinking khamr. Now they are ready to leave drinking khamr. And this ayah, nasakhat the ayah that was before it. This ayah abrogated the ayah that were before it. Which ayah? The ayah that says, la taqrabu as-salata wa antum? Sukara. Don't come even close to the prayer when you are sukara, when you're drunk. So the first ayah obligated, the third ayah obligated the second ayah, and the second ayah obligated the first ayah as well. You see how the nusk? So the nusk came to facilitate, to ease up the things for people, subhanallah. To make it easy for the people. I'll give you an example. Here's for the women, for the sisters. Al-Naskh. I'll tell you the three types of Naskh, three types of abrogation, and then tell you the ayah about women that was abrogated. Sisters, when a man dies, a widower, he leaves a widow, right? She has to embrace that period, right? That period called al-iddah. The iddah of a woman who loses her husband is, do you know brothers? 40 years. 40 years, yeah, 40 years, miskina. 4 months and 10 days. But before that used to be 1 year. Came the second ayah to abrogate the first ayah. So which is easier for women? For the woman, she would say, yani, I cannot leave my home for 1 year after my husband dies. Please, my husband, don't die. I'll die before you because I can't stay home for 1 year. Exactly, I've heard before you die. So which is easier? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated the ayah, and then Allah azza wa jalla revealed it in another ayah, the ayah of 4 months and 4 and 10 days. So there are three types of nuskh. The first type of nuskh is, are you with me or not with me? Tumai or mumai? كيف حبيبنا أونلاين؟ ها؟
تلفونك حيموت.
ها؟ تلفونك لا لا إن شاء الله حيضل معنا. 4 months and 40 and 10 days. أول نوع من النسخ، النسخ في اللفظ والمعنى. في اللفظ والمعنى حنفسر. ثاني نوع من النسخ، النسخ في المعنى مع بقاء اللفظ أو الحكم أو التلاوة يعني. ثالث نوع من النسخ، النسخ في اللفظ مع بقاء المعنى. Three types. The first type of نسخ of abrogation is the abrogation in wording and meaning, both. One ayah was abrogated in its entirety, both the meaning of it and the wording of it was removed from the Quran. That's the first type. I will give you an example. Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان ما يقرأ من آيات القرآن 10 رضعات يحرمن فنسخن بخمس آيات رضعات يحرمن. عائشة she said there was an ayah which prohibits, you know, okay, here's an example. When you have a baby, right? And this is also for the, you know, women. When you have a baby, it's how can I explain this? You cannot have babies. Your wife has a baby, and then you want to breastfeed the baby, not you, the wife. So you want to adopt another baby. And then your wife has milk and she can't breastfeed. For that baby that she breastfeeds, that she nurses, for that baby to become her son or her daughter, there was an ayah in the Quran that says it requires 10 rad'ah, 10 times to be breastfed for the son or the daughter to become your actual son or daughter. And that ayah from the Quran got abrogated, changed totally into 5 ayat. So now, if let's say your wife breastfeed somebody else's son or daughter more than 5 times at least, then that particular baby becomes your son as well. But it has to be 5 times. And the ulama, they said that 5 times the baby has to fully eat. You cannot, like, you know, he's sucking, right? And then you remove him. Like, he has to stop himself or herself. Then and only then, for 5 times. She breastfed him today, and then maybe the next day, or whatever, 3, 5 times. But there was an ayah in the Quran that said 10 times, and that ayah got abrogated into 5, and the same ayah got abrogated. It was removed. But the hukm remained. The ruling, you know, is still there, but the ayah was totally removed from the Quran. That's one naskh. The second type of naskh of abrogation is the naskh fi al-ma'na ma'a baqa' al-lafd. Naskh, the abrogation in the ma'na. The ma'na means al-hukm. The ma'na, you know, means the ruling. But, you know, the naskh of the ruling, the abrogation of the ruling, but what remained is the tilawa. The ayah still remains. The ayah remains in the Quran. But it is not, we don't take from it. We don't use that ayah. It remains. Why it has remained? It remains because you get ajr for reciting it, because it's an ayah from the Quran. So when you recite it, you get the ajr. But the hukm of the ayah, the ruling of the ayah, is abrogated, is no longer valid. Such as the ayah which I have mentioned. The ayah about women, you know, when their husband passes away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Al-Baqarah as well, وَالَّذِينَ تُوَفَّوْنَ
منكم ويذرون أزواجا وصية لأزواجهم متاع للحول غير إخراج. متاع للحول غير إخراج. الله سبحانه says when you know those who die from you know from the man you know their the iddah of their women is 1 year الحول غير إخراج. They have to stay home for 1 year. But this ayah was abrogated with والذين توفون منكم ويذرون أزواجا يتربصن بسنا بأنفسهن أربعة أشهر وعشرة. Same in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who die and leave widows behind them, let them observe a waiting period of 4 months and 10 days. Right? So here, what happened? The first ayah still there. Just like the ayah of the Quran of Khamar, it's still there. Someone may say, Sheikh, the ayah in the Quran is still there that says, don't drink while you're about to pray. It's still there. Why Allah didn't remove it? Allah did not remove it so that you can still recite it in the Quran and get ajr of reciting, you know, that ayah when you recite it as well. But it is no longer valid. What's not? The hukum of it, the ruling of it is no longer valid because it's got abrogated with another ayah from the Quran. So is this ayah, as I mentioned, the ayah of, you know, man dying and leaving behind them widows. And then the third one, النسخ النسخ مع اللفظ مع بقاء معنى الحكم. النسخ اللفظ مع بقاء الحكم. The نسخ of the wording, but the meaning remains. The حكم remains. This is the third type. The meaning is been abrogated, but lafd, يعني the tilawa, يعني the wording has been abrogated, but the hukm has remained. Such as, I'll give you an ayah. Umar ibn Khattab used to say, there was this ayah that was removed, was abrogated. The wording of it got abrogated, but the hukm remains. الشيخ والشيخة إذا زينايا فاجلدوا كل واحدة منهما البثة نكالا من الله جزاء بما كسب والله عزيز حكيم. هذه آية كانت في القرآن. والشيخ والشيخة. This ayah is no longer there. But this ayah used to be there in the Quran. والشيخ والشيخة and the chacha and the chachi and the uncle and the auntie and the old man and the old woman إذا زينايا when they commit zina فاجلدوهم and then you know whip them. Nakanan. So the ayah was being abrogated, but the hukum, you know, the hukum remains. The hukum of al-jild, those who be, you know, like in Surah An-Nur, Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about the hukum of those who commit zina. They are to be, you know, فَجُكُلُ وَحَدْ مِنْهُمَا ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً, you know, 80 whips, right, in this other ayah. So the hukum remains. So these are the three types of abrogation, and again the meaning of it or the purpose of it is to facilitate or to make it easy on you and I, on the people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if these ayat were to be remained, Allah knows that we won't be able, just like the ayah of the hijab, it was not revealed until the sahabiyat went to Medina for after some times, after a few years, you know. And then the sahabiyah, when the ayah of hijab was revealed, the sahabiyat were so ready to implement. So much so that one woman, she did not want to go home. She had to send her, she was in the streets when the ayah was revealed. She couldn't move. She had to send someone to bring her some abaa, something to cover herself with. So they were ready to implement. So came this ruling of an-naskh. Huh. But what does that have to do with them? أَمَّا أَنْتُمْ غَيَّرْتُمْ عَرَفْتُمْ وَغَيَّرْتُمْ. You knew and you made changes. You did not like this ayah, and you changed it, and you lied, and you abrogated, and you changed this with that. But now when we did, Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He made the abrogation, He did it for a purpose. And we brought another ayah, or something better, or something similar. مَا نَسْخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. We bring something similar, or something better than it. So the difference between them and us, and Islam, right, and the Qur'an, نسي الله أكبر. ألم تعلم أن الله له ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير.
Don't you know Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir? Yes, Allah is all able. Allah is able to change something from something, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is qadir. Allah is able. Allah changes one ayah from obligates an ayah and brings another ayah. Allah keeps this ayah and then removes this other ayah. Allah keeps this ayah but removes the meaning of that ayah. Allah is all able, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam ta'lam anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir? Alam ta'lam anna Allah lahu mulku as-samawati wal ard? Wa ma lakum min dunillahi min waliyyin wa la naseer? ألم تعلم أن الله ألم تعلم ألم تعلم don't you know that Allah له ملك الله أكبر الله له الملك. He has the dominion of the heavens and the earth. This is the Allah that you are not believing in. This is the Allah that you don't want to, you know, believe in. له ملك السماوات والأرض. Allah is الملك المالك المليك. These are three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The supreme dominion, the supreme inheritor subhanahu wa ta'ala, the monarch subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the al-malik. Allah lahu mulku as-samawati wal-ard. He is not the only malik in this earth, subhanahu, because there are some people who are only malik on earth, but they cannot be malik in the heavens, the queen and kings. And there are certain malik, but they cannot be malik. Oh, really? Yes. They are malik, they are kings, but they cannot be malik, they cannot own. They can only own certain things. This land is not yours, although you're the king, but this land is not yours. And you are malik, but you are not malik. Look, please be careful with me here, because this is deep. You are malik, but you are not malik. Or you are malik, and you're not malik. You are malik, king, but you are not malik. You cannot own everything. You're king of this country, but you only own not even this what is called her palace of in London, huh? Buckingham disease. Buckingham. Yeah, no, na'am. She lives there. Does she own it? She owns her farm. She owns her dog. She owns, but she owns. Well, she owns. She owned. He's no longer owned. The king who came in, he's Malik, but he's not Malik. And the other one, you are Malik, but you're not Malik. You own your car, you own your home. No, you don't own your home, your wife does. You know, you own nothing. And we, me and you, we don't own nothing, man. Masakin ihna wallah. We don't own, you know. They own, but... So, Malik, but we are not Malik. We are not kings, but Allah is al-Malik, al-Malik. Allah is both. Al-Malik. ما في السماوات والأرض ما لكم من دونه من ولي ولا نصير أم تريدون أن تسألوا. And here comes Allah again, another ayah. أم تريدون. Oh, now he's talking to the Muslims at the time of Allah. أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل. Hold on a second. Allah is saying, do you, oh you, أهل المسلمين, do you want, am turiduna, do you believers, indeed, do you want to ask your messenger, just like what people of Musa asked Musa for? You know what they asked Musa for? They asked Musa for so many things, but what's the worst thing they asked for? اجعل لنا إلها كما له آلهة. Oh Musa, craft a calf for us. An idol, so that we can worship an idol just like they worship in idols. You know, craft an idol for us. They asked Musa. So Allah said to the Sahaba, to the Muslims, do you want to ask your Prophet Muhammad as what they asked Musa for? أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ تَسْأَلُ رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمَا يَتَبَدِّلْ كُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ وَمَا يَتَبَدِّلْ كُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. And those who change from kufr to iman and iman to kufr, they are mu'min, and they change from iman to kufr, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. They have indeed, you know, have, you know, gone astray. So don't go astray. If you're mu'min, stick to iman, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَنْ تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. And I will end with this ayah. ود كثير من أهل الكتاب لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا حسدا من عند أنفسهم من بعد ما تبين لهم الحق. The other ayah says, ما يود الذين كفروا. The other ayah, ما يود. They don't want you to have any خير. What do they want instead? ود كثير من أهل الكتاب.
This is the other ayah they don't want. But this ayah says this is what they want. Who? They're talking about the non-believers. والنصارى واليهود. What do they want? ما يود الذين يود كثير. And here Allah says specifically كثير, not all, but the majority of them. كثير. كثير. What do they want? لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا. الله أكبر. That's the ultimate want from them. They want us to go back to kufar. That's what they want. How? What do they do? Even today, what are they doing? Next week. Next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll carry on. Some questions and answers, inshallah ta'ala, we'll wrap it up, bi-idhnillah. What do they want and what they don't want? We know for sure now what they don't want. They don't want us to be successful. You know, they say khair, you know, you're doing something good, you're great, you're driving a nice car. Even you may say, yeah, Sheikh, even some Muslims, they have that. They don't want to see me successful. Yes. But we're talking about, you know, not those who have sick hearts, the other ones who have no heart at all, those who don't have no belief at all. They don't want you know, to be successful. Now comes in, what do they want instead? ود كثير من أهل الكتاب لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا حسدا من عند أنفسهم. They want you just to leave your religion basically. And the day when you do as they do, when you say as they say, when you dance as they dance, and you celebrate as they celebrate, huh? You'll be the par and you'll be good and they'll be happy with you. The day when you say, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do this. The day when you say, I'm sorry, I cannot shake your hand. I'm sorry, I cannot sit in a table that has khamr. I'm sorry, I cannot participate in this gathering. I'm sorry, I cannot celebrate this day. I'm sorry, I cannot agree with what you're doing, you know, killing innocent people. I'm sorry. They hate you. No, you're not their friends. The day when you tell them, I'm sorry, man, I cannot go out with you drinking. You're at work. Riyadh, you know, we finished this project, you know, it's Friday night. They're always told, we're all going, you know, to this bar, and why don't come with us? You kidding me? I'm sorry, man, I cannot go with you. Why? Sorry, we're just going to drink, no, have a drink. Yeah, you go. I'm not going. Why? I don't drink. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. But you still can come with us, right? You know, have some pope or something. يا أخي, I don't say يا أخي. ولا يا حبيبي. لكم, you know, I'm not going to go. Thank you so much. I'm not going to go. I won't do it. And from there on, they label you. Are you going to be their best friend? No, you're not their best friend. No. Al-Khamr. Why Al-Khamr? Why al-khamr has been prohibited? Why the stages? Why when they tell you, you know, do this, and then you say, no, I'm not going to sit at the table. Why particularly? I'll just point about, because I forgot to mention about al-khamr. Al-khamr is called Ummul Khaba'it. Huh? Al-khamr is the mother of all evil. You don't know that. The mother of all evil is khamr. Because when you become, astaghfirullah, intoxicated, drunk, what we know when it's been told to this man, here's your sister, your mother, drink khamr. Either you kill your sister, you kill your mother, or do haram with your sister, or drink khamr. He says, oh, I'm just gonna drink khamr. He drank khamr and he killed his mom and he astaghfirullah did his sister. Khamr. Why the highest number of accidents happened because of what? Isn't that drunk driving? Mm-hmm. Even them, they know. Even then, they know. And then when they become drunk, what happens? Even, did they spend that much money? That's why they got drunk and they come up, broke. I didn't even know. Yes, you spent all your money, man. You spent all your money drinking and buying. Everybody, it's on the house. What house is on me? He was drunk. وبعدين لما يخلص when he says, what did I you're sober what did you know what the hobby what did no yes you did and you said and you killed and you punched I don't remember there was this Muslim man yeah he was a Muslim he was married to Muslima والله There are two stories. Two stories. He was drunk in a bar. And then this guy next to him, he came on the newspaper. Muhammad punched a guy in the bar. How did he punch him? The other drunk guy, they were all drunk, and then the other guy started talking about Islam in a bad way, and cursing the Muslims, and the guy just punched him. He wasn't drunk, and he's punched. Why? He's talking bad about my prophet. Okay, you're drunk to the head, don't catch you. And then the other guy, the other story, was drunk. What was he going to say? I said two stories, right? What's the other story?
Maybe
the guy was drinking, but he asked, "The chicken is halal or not?" Huh? Maybe
the guy was drinking, and then he asked the lady, "The chicken is halal or not?"
No, I like that one. He says, "No, this is not halal, but the drinking is haram." What was I saying before that? So I can maybe bring it. Was I saying something before that? What was I saying before the stories of the drink? Al-khamr, right? I'm talking about khamr. And why is it haram? Yes, I caught it. So she was married. You guys are not following me. He was married to a woman. He's married to a woman. And this woman was, mashallah, you know, Arab issues. So he goes, he gets drunk, and then he comes home. Then he comes in drunk, and sometimes he comes in, his pants wet. So his wife, she beats him up. Hey, wallah, ta'atif. She beats him up with a stick, she beats him up. And then when he comes in nice, not drunk, she cooks for him. And she says, you choose. You come in nice, best food, best drink, best everything, I take care of you. You come in drunk, al-asa. You choose. She's in. So the khamr, al-'iyadu billah. Why khamr was made prohibited? So. And talking about al-khamr and talking about the abrogation of the ayat and talking about why Allah Azza wa Jal has made it haram al-'iyadu billah. So talking about this ayah, what do they want and what do they want? So next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about the fact that what Allah Azza wa Jal says, what the kathiru min ahli al-kitab. And this is something sometimes you and I might find it uncomfortable talking about. We have neighbors, we live with neighbors, not Muslim. I'm not saying don't befriend them. No, they're our friends, why not? They're our neighbors and we be nice to them and we're, if they need help, we definitely help them and whatnot. But is it that person who really I'm going to, have as my believer friend? Is it someone that I can truly, truly trust for the sincere advice? It depends. But here, when the Prophet Muhammad SAW says, let the only the Muslim enter your home and the believer to eat your food. Who should come to your home and who should come? But you may say, but I'm inviting my neighbors who are not Muslims to teach them about Islam and its da'wah. Sure, there's nothing harm in it. In fact, we work with them, we live with them, so we have to abide by certain rules as long as you, give the da'wah and be careful. Do be careful because you may say, but this ayah is not applicable, ya Sheikh. It's not true. The ayah says, look, they really love us. But Allah is saying, what the kathir min al-kitab? They will love you more if you become disbeliever. Okay, let's just conclude then. They will love you more if you follow their path, if you follow their ways. And they don't like it when you don't follow their path. Questions? Comments? Suggestions?
Regarding the iddah for the 4 month and 10
months.
So it's also applicable on the old age.
Jazakallah khair. Naam. So the question is it applicable for the old women? So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, the other iddah is for the, because there are two types of iddah, the iddah of divorce and the iddah of the woman who loses her husband, passing away. So this is the two types of iddah. Allah Azza wa Jalla's regard to the one who passes away, could be 60 years old or even, who her husband dies, So her iddah is 4 months and 10 days, regardless of the age. But then what is applicable there? What is applicable? She goes on her iddah for sure, that 4 months. But can she come out from her home? Yeah, she can come out for some necessities. I'm not going to go out on vacation. You know, I'm not going to go. I need to go and visit my kid because, yes, visit your kid. He's sick, or your daughter, or she needs your help. Or, you know, I need to go and buy some because nobody's buying groceries for me. My husband used to, but he's dead now. So I'm the one who, my kids, they're all over the world. I'm by myself. Who's going to go and bring me? So and there's certain, you know, exceptions. But the only thing like such as traveling or such as going out to a wedding, no. Even if she's 60, 70, 80.
For the divorce and for the widow, concept of the
iddah.
Conception for the child, probably if there is an iddah for the, you know, the, if there is, you cannot be married.
Oh, no, that's a different one. And this one was not abrogated. Well, the one that was abrogated is for a dying husband. The other one, diverse is another ayah that talks about the iddah. And then the iddah is if she's pregnant until she delivers her baby.
Yes.
Or the 3 months cycle. Nah.
The
divorce. Yeah. So that's for the divorce.
Yes.
And for a woman pregnant until she delivers her baby. But the woman who loses her husband, her iddah is 4 months and 10 days.
Right. So iddah is for the concept for the keeping this truth.
If you want to get married again, scientifically, subhanAllah, they said that to claim that if you were to have another baby, you know, you're not fully, Allah, I shouldn't say clean or whatnot, but fully, you cannot, you know, until it goes over that period of the iddah, which is 3 months if you're divorced. You know, before the 3 months, it could be that even if you get married, the son or the daughter, if you were to conceive, may or may not be, you know, the father, the man that you married could be the father. It could be the man that you divorce, who is the father actually. So this is why Allah Azza wa Jalla has put this iddah of 3 months for the divorced woman. The 3 months years of cycle.
So you mentioned that some of the time what happens is there are some days that they want you to celebrate, right?
Mm.
That they do.
Yeah.
So one of the most common example that I think of is like
Mother's Day, Father's Day, Dog's Day, Cat's Day, and all those days. Yeah. And this is their day, because they only visit their mom once a year, or their dad once a year, or they buy a gift for their mom once a year, then the whole year she's miskina, you know, she's dessert. I'm not, again, I cannot generalize, but mom, she's alone, and then Mom's Day. Mom's Day is every day. Father's Day is every day. No such a thing, right? So, number one. Number two, brother, is business. Halloween is business. Mother's Day is business. Father's Day is business. So they need to keep the economy going. So we need to make something. Black Friday Day, whatever. Christmas Day. It's all money.
People in your family do celebrate. How do you, like, if you be a part of it, is it a
celebration? I'm not going to be part of it. You know, that's your choice.
No. You know, in the family, if somebody they always celebrate, share gifts. But like now, you know, if a person
please don't give me that gift on that Father's Day. Give it to me a week before. Give me a week later. Give me some. Don't even give me no gift. You know, the gift is you, alhamdulillah, for me. But if you really want to give, don't give it to me on that particular day. Give it to me some other day, and don't make the intention as this is for Father's Day. Make it to me as Love Day or whatever. You love me, give it, you know. Make something up. Not make something up. Just try to avoid mimicking them, you know, exactly as what they're doing. There was another... When somebody was here, then he left.
If you give it to them on random days, they won't complain if you don't give it on Mother's Day.
Yeah. No, I was asking really, you know, in the family.
But if you give on Mother's Day or Father's Day, if you give it on random days...
Would you join us for some tea, inshallah ta'ala? We have on about 15 minutes.